Would your Bibles to Psalm 119. I like to dip in here occasionally when I'm between a sermon or between a series. Because I really love this. I love Psalm 119. In fact, I'm going through it right now. When I hit Psalm 119 in my devotions, I read two sections a day. And then I read another psalm after that. A.W. Pink, his practice was to take a verse of Psalm 119 every day, and he would memorize it. Okay, there's 176 verses. So he would memorize Psalm 119 twice through the year. What he said was he would memorize that verse, and throughout the day, he would meditate. He called it his spiritual food for the day. And I always thought that was an interesting way to go through Psalm 119. And then when you read the writings of A.W. Pink, you find out how much respect he had for the scriptures themselves. And it was probably due to God giving him a lot of deep thought and meditation as he went through this book devotionally every day. I think it's a shame that he never wrote an exposition of Psalm 119. Of all the things that he wrote on, I would have loved to have seen him write this. A couple of great books, if you ever want to do an in-depth study of Psalm 119. One of the best is Spurgeon's Treasury of David. He goes through every psalm. I mean, you realize what a huge task that is to do an exposition of 150 psalms. But he even does something more than he does a running exposition of each verse, and then at the end of every psalm, he goes and takes the very best of all the writers that he had and puts that in there. So it's a vast treasury of knowledge. In fact, it's called the Treasury of David. But another one is in the works of Thomas Manton. Thomas Manton was a Puritan, and he wrote an entire exposition of Psalm 119. I've got all the works of Manton, 22 volumes. I had them when I was young, and we needed money. I had to sell them, and I cried over that sale. But, you know, you got to eat. And then a few years ago, they were having a sale on it, and I got it for like a third of the price. Well, that, it was even less expensive than when I bought it the first time. So Thomas Manton is a good set to have. But I'm finding that the older I get, I don't have near as much time to read all the books that I have. Because right now what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to go through a lot of the things that I have written and edit them, and so that somewhere somebody might put them into print, either ebooks or regular print. I know I won't be able to do it in my lifetime, because I've written probably 20 expositions of various books of the Bible that are ready to print if somebody will edit them. And but I don't have the time or the energy or the know-how to do all that. But maybe someday somebody will. The only book that I have as an exposition that's been printed is the Baptist Exposition of the Book of Acts. But I got Psalm 119. I really would like to redo it again, but that's what I dip into occasionally. Well, look at verse 65. That's what we'll consider tonight. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according to thy word. Now, if you look back to verse 64, he draws from the fact that God, as the owner of all things and the creator of all things, the earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. And as he considered and he meditated upon all the blessings and the treasury of grace and goodness that God and mercy that he had poured out, he began to reflect on how God had dealt with him personally. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant. And it made me think, should be our relationship to God. We don't tell him what to do. We're his servants. We don't. We should comply with what he says. And we ought to do it cheerfully. We ought to do it with an eye to his glory. In everything that we do, we have such a wonderful heavenly master. Our God is great. He is almighty. He has all power in heaven and in earth. And he has seen fit to deal with us in grace, even though we deserve to be dealt with in unabated justice and wrath from his hand. That's what we deserve. If God were to deal with every one of us in the way that justice requires, every single person would spend an eternity in the lake of fire for our sins. But David was a man that God had chosen, redeemed, saved, and he concludes that David, that God had dealt well with him. And I think back on my life. God, and you can say the same, God has never dealt with us unkindly. Think about all the provisions that he has dealt in your life. I mean, most people have a measure of health. And think about all the years that God has provided food, clothing, air, a decent amount of health, the ability to function, to read, to eat, to understand, to interact with other people. These are all ways that God has dealt in a way of common goodness to all men. He causes the sun to shine, the rain to fall, the crops to grow, the strength to reap those crops, the ability to eat and sustain. All of that comes from the hand of God. How many people would actually say, God, you've dealt well with me, even though I don't deserve it? Lost people ought to consider this. They ought to consider the fact that God has dealt well in a measure of goodness that they don't deserve. People don't think this way, though. Most people always look on the wrong side of things, what they don't have, what they think they deserve, rather than being thankful for how God has dealt with them. David said, Thou hast dealt well with thy servant. You know, God is gracious. He is our Heavenly Father. And when we do wrong, he deals well with us in chastising us, so that we will see where we're wrong, where we have offended him, how we need to repent, how we need to turn to him for forgiveness. And then the fruit of chastisement is rejoicing in doing, coming back to understand God's grace in His chastening. So even in the what we would say are the worst of times, when we've done something wrong and our Heavenly Father has to deal with us in chastening, He does it for our good, so that we won't stay in the slop and in the mess. And when we do right, He deals with us by bountifully blessing us beyond what we could ever imagine, exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Just consider your life. Consider what you have in Christ. Consider just on a daily basis all the provisions that God has dealt in your life. The food you eat, the clothes you wear, the home you live in, the vehicle you drive, the crops that you harvest, the work that you do, the family that you have, the joys that you experience, the friendship, the ability to work, all of these things come directly from the hand of our gracious God. And how ought to thrill our hearts that God deals with us at all? Because we're unworthy of it. When you really understand the nature of sin, it should amaze us that God would deal with us at all. Should one who is pure and holy deal with those who are corrupt and sinful and have improper motives, who are often found going contrary to His law, to His revealed will? Yes, He still deals with us. The Holy One deals with those who are fouled, who are defiled by this world and by indwelling sin. We are unworthy of His mercies. We are corrupted by our sin. We're depraved in our mind, in our heart, in our will, in our soul. And yet God deals well with us. God loves us. He loves us with a love that is as eternal as He is. I love the prayer of Jesus in John 17 when He talks about how the Father has loved Him and how that the Father loves us as He has loved Christ. And then in the next verse He says, "Thou lovest Me from the foundation of the world." And that's how God loves us in Christ. There's no beginning to that love because God is eternal. And there is no diminishing of that love. This is how well God has dealt with us in grace. There's never been a time that He's ever loved us any less. Oh, He not only loved us with an everlasting love, He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus, the second person of the Holy Trinity, the eternally begotten Son of God, who is equal with the Father and the Spirit. He dealt so well with us that the only way that we could be made right, the only way that we could be justified, The only way that we could be forgiven, that we could be brought into a right relationship with the holy God, is that His holy Son would have to be born with no sin, take upon Himself human flesh, and to live a perfect life. Something that's beyond every one of us. We can't do that. We're unable. We're incapable. And yet Jesus did that His entire earthly life. And then, after being beaten unmercifully, He willingly laid down His life. He laid Himself down on the cross. He hung suspended between heaven and earth, between two malefactors who justly deserved the condemnation. And the Holy One, the Lord Jesus Christ, was bearing our sins. This is how well God has dealt with us in grace. Instead of me bearing the debt of my sin, the penalty of my sin, the condemnation and guilt throughout all eternity, Jesus bore my sin and its debt in full. And all of the wrath of the Father was poured out upon Him, and His blood propitiated the Father's wrath against me. Instead of falling upon me for all eternity, it fell upon the Worthy One, Jesus Christ, who did no sin. God had determined that was the way that we would be reconciled. He put away our sins. And they buried Him, just like everybody who dies is put into the tomb. And then He rose from the dead. And the Bible says that He rose again without sin. He had put the sins away. The sins had all been dealt with. They'd all been punished and forever put away. Which is why we can say, why Paul can say, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Christ, He condemned sin in His body on the tree. And He put them all away. He purged them. And when He rose without sin for our justification. And in time, when we were in darkness and in our depravity, with no will toward God, no desire for God, some of you God placed in a family where the Bible was read every day, where prayers were lifted, where you were taken to church every Sunday and every Wednesday. What a mercy to have parents that raised you in the nurture and admonition and the fear of the Lord. And in time, God dealt with your self-righteous heart. That's often the greatest sin that people who go to church all their whole life, self-righteousness is one of the greatest sins they have. And yet God overcame that. And then others, I was a heathen. And out of all of my friends, God determined to save me and send a man. Just like the Ethiopian had Philip, God had a man for Tom. Sent me right to where I worked and preached the gospel to me and prayed for me and lived a Christian life in front of me and testified to the grace of God. an all-glorious day when He saved my soul. Soon it's going to be 42 years. I know I don't even look 42, but it's been 42 years since I was saved. This is how well God has dealt with me. And all of you, if you really will just plumb the depths of this verse, you can say that God has dealt well with thy servant. If you'll think about it, He's dealt with us in the matter of salvation, delivering us from our sins. And then His Spirit regenerated us, gave us everything necessary to our conversion, repentance toward God, and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, and then indwells us. This is how well God has dealt with us. We have a personal teacher who lives in us, a comforter who's been sent to teach us all things in the Word of God. And we're going to know all things in the Word of God in His time. It may not be to glory, but He sent us to teach us all the truth. You have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. What a glorious, wonderful gift to have God in us of a truth. We have this treasure in earthly vessels, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And every truth you love, every truth you believe, every promise and instruction that has transformed you and caused you to learn and grow and love and delight in God, it's all because the Spirit has got a hold of you and taught you the truth of His Word and led you in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. And He will never lead you into sin. The Holy Spirit will never lead you contrary to the Word of God. This is how well God has dealt with us. And He's dealing with us right now. He has given us the privilege of being in His New Testament church. And He has given you a pastor that loves you and that wants the very best for you. To use the washing of the water of the Word of God to work in your life so that you can receive instruction and make application and put it into practice in your home, in the workplace, so that you and me are being sanctified by the Word of God, by the Holy Spirit of God, so that we might honor Him in everything we do. That should be our ultimate goal. To honor God with our life and our thoughts and our words. And that's the work of God sanctifying us, conforming us to the image of Christ. Think about what people in this world are being conformed to. Evil and sin and ungodliness and the misery that all of that brings. But that is not your lot, because God has dealt well with you. He's taken away the appetite for sin in the world and has given you a delight in Him and in His Word and in prayer and in worship. Oh, how we ought to be filled with His praises each and every day. He has dealt so well with us. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant. And all that we would recognize our place. And as we consider the glories and the graces that our benefactor has bestowed upon us, And we're his servants. We ought to say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Each and every, I'm your servant. Here's my body. Here's my mind, my soul, my will, my all. Lord, help me. I want to walk in your ways because I belong to you. I've been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. I want to love you more than anything, more than anyone, because you've dealt so well with me. I owe my life to you. And he's dealt with us in the way of providence. Every need we have has been met in Christ. In times of trial, he's our refuge and our strong tower. The name of the Lord is as a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. And all of these blessings has our Master given us in spite of the fact that we often don't do what he says, yet he abideth faithful. Every blessing which God gives us is in accordance with his word, and he never does anything contrary to what he's inspired. And that's exactly what it says in this verse. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according to thy word. Every blessing, every chastening, every trial, every act of providence according to thy word, it's according to what your truth states. And you know what should be our response? One of absolute, complete contentment. If God has dealt well with us, what else do we need? If he has dealt well with you, why would we spend even a moment being discontented and surly, complaining, grumbling? I've always been amazed at the testimony of Paul when he wrote the book of Philippians, and he says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, not that I speak, here he is in prison, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Why? Thou hast dealt well with thy servant according to thy word. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And he ends the chapter by saying, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according to thy word. What else do we need? Having food and raiment therewith to be content. As I thought about this, and the way that David writes Psalm 119, and many of the Psalms, he had such a delight in God, in the presence of God, in his thoughts that God gave him about his attributes and his glory. And David delighted in telling about how wonderful God is and how he had dealt with him. And that's how we ought to spend our days. It's how we ought to talk to our children and our grandchildren. How well God has dealt with us. And how much He has blessed us, even though we're so unworthy. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according to thy word.
Let's call stand. Page number 88.